Okay, you may be seated. And so you won't be wondering why I look so freakish today. Just a bit. Anyway, I've just been doing some chemo treatment on my face for precancerous stuff, sun damage and stuff. And so, yeah, that's why I'm swollen and weird makeup. But it's working and it's starting to heal. And peel. So praise God. Okay, so the Haftar for Vayigash is Ezekiel 37, 15 to 28. And the word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me, came to Ezekiel. And who is the word of the Lord? Who have we learned? That's right. John tells us the word of the Lord is Yeshua. I'm going to read this passage. The word of Adonai came to me saying, you, son of man, take one stick and write on it for Judah, for B'nai Israel, children of Israel, joined with him. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel joined with him. Because we know that the kingdoms were divided at this time. Join them one to another for yourself as one stick, so they may become one in your hand. When the children of your people speak to you, saying, won't you tell us what you mean by this, by these? Say to them, thus says Adonai Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel joined with him, and I will put them together with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. They will be one in my hand. We talk about that as being the one new man as well. And it's just such an awesome picture. The sticks that you write on will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, sorry, that one just hit me hard. Thus says Adonai Elohim, behold, I will take B'nai Israel from among the nations. Where they have gone, I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king to them all. They will no longer be two nations and never again be divided into two kingdoms. They will never again be defiled with their idols, their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. I will save them out of all their dwellings in which they sinned. I will purify them. Then they will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them. They will have all this. That one jumped in. Right? I've read this. I didn't. I'm sorry. Thought I did. My servant David will be king over them. They will all have one shepherd. They will walk in my ordinances and observe my rulings and do them. They will live in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your ancestors lived. They will live there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David will be their prince forever. I will cut a covenant of shalom with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. I will give to them and multiply them. I will set up my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be over them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. This picture, you know, we have at the beginning of this chapter is the dry bones. Ezekiel sees the valley of the dry bones and then he's told to prophesy over those bones. And I just thought this was an awesome illustration of them gaining the sinew and the muscle and the flesh as they are coming alive, as he prophesies and Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, breathes into them. So this portion, I think it is the most exciting and well-known prophecy in the Bible. When we first received the Torah, we learned this passage, and I was completely dumbfounded when I realized what it meant and what it meant to us personally. I was so humbled to realize that we had been chosen to be a part of this prophecy being fulfilled. It was amazing. And you know, I thought about it today. I thought, nobody had to tell me that. When I read this, I got it for the first time. I never had understood these prophecies. Yeah, we know, dry bones, okay, whatever that means. We literally were dry bones at that time. We were hurting. We were, you've heard the testimony, we were desperate. But he put that back into us. He breathed his spirit and his life into us. And so he brought us back to life. I'm still stunned that he chose us and raised us up and gave us new life. And this portion in the Torah portion via Gosh, is probably my favorite because we see Yosef revealing himself to his brothers. Every single part of it is so prophetic and full of pictures of what we're experiencing in our life today. If you don't see it, ask God, open your eyes. Say, open my eyes. I want to see this in me. I want to see this before me. That's what touched me so much about that part where it said, before their eyes, they will see this in your hand. Like, wow. They are. We are. We are seeing it in the hand now. We are seeing this coming to life, happening. We are seeing Judah and their eyes being opened to Yeshua, to this prophecy, to see what it means to them. We know that this took place at the time when Babylon, you know, the Jews were in Babylon and they were to come back, but it's not just that. It's now, it's ongoing, it's forever. His word is for all of us. It's not just for them. It's for always and forever. It's clearly a picture of the house of Joseph, Ephraim, and the house of Yehuda drawing near to one another. You know, we hear Yeshua say, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And that's exactly what took place in this portion. Very, very prophetic, right? There are so many ways that Yahweh tells his story and his plan, and the gospel is from the beginning. And so is this restoration of the whole house of Israel. We are witnessing it. I just said that. We are witnessing to what is happening around the world. And the witness, as you heard when I read it, it's in my spirit every time. So I can't be swayed from that to believe it's not, or that it's already happened, or that it's something else, because he brings it alive in me and quickens it to my spirit every time I read it and tells me this is for you. And if you don't have that, ask him for it. It's important that we get that revelation directly, because he is a God who's personal and he's direct. He's our Savior. He is, yeah, he's there for us, and he wants us to hear his voice and to know when he speaks it to us, and that it applies to us. So I cling to this because I know it applies to me. Another example we have is from Zechariah 4, as Ken talked about last week, the two olive trees, and in Revelation, the two witnesses. So I'm going to read again this portion here, Zechariah 4, 3 through 6. And two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. Do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my master, this is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, the one rebuilding the temple, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said Yahweh of hosts. And the word of Yahweh came to me saying, and I responded a second time and said to him, what are these two olive branches which empty golden oil from themselves by means of the two gold pipes, the olive trees? And he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the master of all the earth. Check that out. There it is. I just love that picture. I just think it really is quite a visual for us. But to see that, these two witnesses are standing there beside the menorah. Let's say that it's representing the kingdom of God. And in Yeshua, right? And you've got Judah on one side and Ephraim on the other. It's such a powerful passage. These two anointed ones are the two sticks, the two witnesses, the bride. They're placed alongside the menorah, the kingdom of God today, the light. And they're pouring oil out to the nations from us, from all of us, from Judah and Ephraim. God's using both. He's using both. We are learning that, right? We know that. As Joseph clears the room of the Egyptians, he calls his brothers, representing Judah, to draw near. As believers in Messiah Yeshua, we've invited our brother Judah to draw near. On the same hand, we are witnessing Judah drawing near to us. As believers in Messiah Yeshua with the Torah, many are having revelation by the Spirit of their brother Joseph and are accepting, loving, and trusting of him, where in the past this rarely existed. There's a remnant in Judah as well as a remnant in Ephraim that are drawing near to one another and receiving the light from the menorah and causing that light to spread to throughout Israel, the body of Messiah Yeshua. Oh, there's a visual there of Joseph calling his brothers to draw near to him and him looking still. He's the Egyptian, right? But they're coming near, bowing their heads in repentance. And think of Joseph as Yeshua right there, saying, draw near to me. In Christianity, we didn't learn Jewish teachings, sad to say. And now many who come to Torah want to reject anything that comes from Christianity. But we came to Torah, didn't we? In our Christianity. God chose that path for us. He revealed himself to us in that pathway. And he pulled us from it to bring us from the lies. And he's doing the same for Judah because they're in the same lies. They are also in many, many lies. So both trees have richness to give to the body. We have to ask for revelation and discernment to know what is truth and what is from Yahweh. All of God's people have inherited lies from their forefathers. Every one of them in every walk, they have all inherited lies. Yet even in the midst of this scheme of Hasatan, this is such a beautiful thing. The deceiver, Hasatan the deceiver, this phenomenon of Judah and Ephraim being brought together is abounding. It is growing. I know 20 years ago, when we first came to Torah, you know, there were very few people around us that understood what it was about, and we were by no means the leaders in it, but it was revealed to us. But man, how it's grown over the years. It's common now. I mean, not common, but you know what I mean. You mention it to people and they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, they know what you mean. In the beginning, 20 years ago, I used to say, well, if you got about an hour, I can explain what I'm doing, what we are, you know. But now people understand what it's all about. I picture Hasatan holding court over all the deception in the world. Yet there is this bright light from the menorah that he can't extinguish with his lies. He cannot. He has no power to do it. It keeps growing brighter and larger throughout the earth. So we see in Revelation 11 and 12, it explains the purpose of the two witnesses. And I shall give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clad in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. There we go. He's telling us right there what they are. And we just learned, right? The two out of Zechariah, there were two olive trees that are standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if anyone wishes to harm them, fire comes out from their mouth and consumes their enemies. Hallelujah. And if anyone wishes to harm them, he has to be killed in that way. And there you see it. There is the one stick in his hand that says Ephraim and Judah. It's why this message is to both, right? It's to both, not just to. And we see ourselves, right, as those in the nations, and that's Ephraim. That is Ephraim, those in the nations, scattered amongst the Gentiles. We don't know. We're probably from a tribe, but we don't know for sure. It doesn't matter. We're grafted in. We are grafted into that tree of Israel. Yeshua being the root, right? We are grafted in, just as Judah has to be grafted back in as well. And so there it is, the stick, the one house of Israel. That's God's vision. That's his plan. That's what he wants. And that's what he is building. He is forming it. We've learned early on that we can't do it. We can't make people see it. We try, we plant seeds, and that's what we can do, is plant seeds wherever we go. And then we trust that he will bring them to pass. He will open the eyes. He will do it. Absolutely, we are pouring the golden oil, and that golden oil is our testimony, our witness, right? Of what he's done in our life. That's all we have, really, is what he's done for us. And that's what the Bible's full of. His story being told over and over and over again in every book, pretty much. His pathway of what he wants us to know. Praise God. I have more time, but I'm good. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for this word today.